Radio 4. It's 2 minutes past three and time for afternoon theatre. Robin Bailey plays the Stoker and Shirley Dixon Mrs. Bentle in Stoker Leishman's Diaries by Peter Tinniswood.
Ready, Dora?
Yes, Mother.
Right then. Proceed across the pavement to the front gate. Not too quick, love. Not too hasty. Now then, Dora, acknowledge the crowds. Wave to the spectators. Oh, champion, love, champion!
Thank you, Mother. Now then, what would you like me to do next?
Process up the front path, if you please. Oh, slow and stately. Be slow, love, be slow.
Sorry.
That's better, Dora. Just the ticket, love. Now then, a final turn to the crowds and acknowledge their thunderous applause.
Like this? A regal wave of the arm?
Perfect, love, perfect. And now the entrance to the house. With dignity, Dora. With immense civic dignity, if you please. Champion, Dora, champion. It'll be just the ticket when we actually get the crowds there, won't it?
But of course, Mother.
Now then, Dora, by my timing, it took you 2 minutes, 35 seconds to process from the top of Tunnicliffe Lane Junction to our front door. That's a very satisfactory time, love.
Thank you, Mother. I always aim to give satisfaction, you know. Dedicated me whole life to it.
Course you have, love. Course you have. You did a much better time than the funeral cortege what come for Mrs. Carmody. On my timing, the funeral cortege will come for Mrs. Carmody to... Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Now what's the matter, Mother?
I'm thinking of poor Mrs. Carmody. She was a martyr to her chest all her life, was Mrs. Carmody, and the corns and the sinus. Yet never one word of complaint did you hear from her.
And she had ever such a lovely funeral service, didn't she, Mother? And the vicar gave ever such a moving address, didn't he?
Oh, he did, love, he did. And don't forget the floral tributes while you're about it.
Beautiful, Mother. Champion.
They was appropriate too, love. They was the ultimate in being appropriate. I'll never forget them floral tributes as long as I live. They must have been plucked fresh that morning. They'd even got the original wasps on them. One of the pallbearers got a terrible sting on his thumb.
Yes, Mother. Yes.
Well, come on, Dora. We've had our little sob. I say we've had our little sob for the morning, so we best get cracking on some work.
But of course, Mother. And what sort of work have you in mind? Dusting? Polishing? Vacuum cleaning? Wallpapering? Mending a fuse? Cleaning the drains? I'm at your service, Mother.
No, love, no. I'll tell you what you can do. You can start buttering them bridge rolls for tomorrow's party.
The bridge rolls, Mother. Ah, yes, the good old bridge rolls. I just can't wait to get started. Fulfillment at last.
Don't pay her no heed. She always gets a bit funny when the grass starts pollinating. Now then, you'll want to know about the Stoker, won't you? He's in the front parlour now, washing his feet in the zinc bath. And why shouldn't he? Stoker Leishman is a very remarkable man. Oh, yes, he is. You see, many moons ago, he did a most remarkable thing. He walked to the South Pole. On his own 2 feet. Oh, yes, he did. Dora! Dora! Come here a minute, love.
Yes, Mother?
Am I right or am I wrong? Stoker Leishman walked to the South Pole on his own 2 feet.
You're right, Mother. He walked there on his own 2 feet. No one else's.
You see? What did I tell you?
Oh, it were an epic story.
Well, as I said to Mrs. Dorkington in the covered market, you don't walk to the South Pole every day of the week, do you? You see, what it was this. When the Stoker was a young man in the Royal Navy, he went on this expedition to the Antarctic, you see, and there was 4 of them made this dash to the South Pole, you see, and unfortunately on the way back 2 of them died, Oh, yes, they did. They died on the way back. Literally. Dora! Dora!
Yes, Mother?
Didn't two of the Stoker's pals die on their way back from the South Pole?
Yes, Mother, they did.
The only two what made it back to base were the Stoker and the leader, Commander Bowen. Commander Bowen. It makes me sick. When they got back to England, they made Commander Bowen a national hero, didn't they, Dora?
Yes, Mother, they did.
And what did they do to Stoker Leishman? I say, what did they do to him?
They left him out in the cold. They snubbed him. It was a disgrace. It was a national scandal.
She's right, you know. I say she's not wrong. When they got back to England, they give the whole works to Commander Bowen. They made him a sir. They knighted him too. They give him an estate in the country with peacocks. His face was never off the Gaumont British Bathy News. If he wasn't being feted by the crowned heads of Europe, he was making a speech at a function. And to crown it all, I say to crown it all, he goes and publishes his diaries and makes a fortune out of them. Didn't he make a fortune out of his diaries, Dora?
Wealth untold, Mother.
She's right, you know. And what grieves me, what sticks in my gullet, is the Stoker's got diaries of his own and refuses to publish them. Talk about cussedness. There's bigwigs galore offered him a small fortune to publish them diaries. His own son-in-law, Barbara's husband, is in the book business. And he's got a contract all made up and ready for him to sign. Oh, yes, he has. Hasn't Robert got a contract for the Stoker, Dora? Couldn't he make a small fortune if he come to his senses?
I think he just wants to keep his privacy, Mother.
It's not privacy he wants, it's gumption. If he had any gumption, he'd be... Eh, I don't know why I should get all aerated about it, I don't. I mean, I'm not even family. Dora and me's only his next-door neighbours. Are we only the Stoker's next-door neighbours, Dora?
Yes, Mother. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I've been doing for him and his eldest son, Edgar, ever since poor Mrs. Leishman passed on 22 years ago. She died in childbirth, you know. What a waste, when all it produced was that Barbara. Honest to God, she's come up from London special for tomorrow's ceremony, and all...
For heaven's sake, Mother, give it a rest! Give it a rest!
Dear, oh dear, there's no need for that, is there? I say, that's quite unnecessary, isn't it? If she's upset my individual sherry trifles with all that door banging, I'll... You see, what it is this. I'm up to me ears in catering for the Stoker's party. He's going to have a party, you see. Well, what it is this. This year is the 60th anniversary of the year the Stoker and Commander Bowen reached the South Pole, you see. And in honour of that, they're going to make the Stoker a Freeman of the Borough. And well, he deserves it. I say it's not before time, neither. The council throw good money after bad, bringing the Alley Orchestra here every Christmas. Yet when it comes to looking after their own, it's...
Helen! Helen! Helen!
That's the Stoker. Hasn't he got a lovely voice for speaking with? Come in, Stoker! Come in, love. Yes, Stoker. What's to do with you, love?
This water, it's got stone cold.
Oh, dear, Stoker. Oh, dearie, dearie me. Dora! Dora!
For the umpteenth time, yes, Mother.
Dora! The Stoker's water's gone stone cold on him.
Oh, dearie, dearie, dearie me. Oh, my word, it's freezing. I can almost hear the ice crackling in it. There's little icebergs floating round in it. Do you know, Stoker, it's cold enough for penguins to swim in, is this water? Let me get you some fresh. Oh, dearie, dearie, dearie me.
I'll say this about Dora. She doesn't know how to keep a man's feet happy.
You're right, Stoker. You're not wrong, love. She's always been most solicitous about your feet as Dora.
Yeah, I come across a woman once, just like Dora. In Valparaiso. Yeah, Valparaiso, South America.
Where?
That were in days gone by, man. Yeah, it were in days long since gone. But by God, she was spitting image, Adora.
In what way?
Lofty Tate were me, dear, met her.
His mind's wandering, you know. I say it's definitely started to wander.
She was very like Dora. She had the same sweet nature. Quiet. She were a quiet disposition, as they say. Very quiet and very sensitive.
Sometimes I think he's going a bit senile. A bit doodle-ally. There are times when I think it would be a kindness to put him in a home. But then I think of him as he were in his prime. And I think of him as he is now with his feet and of strangers cutting his toenails for him and... Oh, it wouldn't be right. It would not.
She were very tender with this woman. Tender, aye, that's the word. And she give me the best jump I'd had in a good 17 months.
What was that you say, Stoker?
I say she give me the best...
Here's your water, Stoker.
Yeah.
Piping hot.
Yeah.
Here, give me your feet and I'll put them in the bath for you.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's grand. That's right, champion, is that?
Oh, that's it, Stoker, there. Yeah. That's it, love.
Here's a tip for you, Dora. Always remember that the best way to a man's heart is through his feet.
Is it really? And to think of all the years I've wasted looking at men's bellies. Well, back to my bridge rose. Hey, don't let that water go cold.
No.
We don't want you getting frostbite in your toes, do we, eh?
Tender she were. And very adept.
You see, his mind's definitely wandering.
Well then, Stoker, love, we've got it all timed.
What have you got all timed?
The time it'll take the mayoral procession to process from Tunnicliffe Lane Junction to your front door.
All that.
It'll take 2 minutes, 35 seconds, so I'll have ample time to have the tea mashed and ready for his worship the mayor as soon as he sets foot over the threshold.
Mayor? When's he coming here?
After the ceremony, tomorrow. Good heavens above, lad. You'll not let him bring you all the way back from town hall and then refuse to invite him in for a cup of tea, will you?
When I were a young man and in me prime, I could take on any Lord Mayor you care to mention and knock all his front teeth out before breakfast time.
Stoker, love, I think you misunderstand me. I am not inviting his worship back here for fisticuffs. I am inviting him back into the house to partake of light refreshments. Bridge rolls, fancies, individual sherry trifles.
Individual sherry trifles, freedom of the borough. What a bloody palaver about naught. Here, help me out of this chair.
Honestly, Stoker, words fail me. They do, they fail me. 60 years it's been since you come back from the pole, and not one single honour have you got.
Honours!
It's all very well taking that disparaging attitude, but look what they give Commander Bowen.
What?
Look at his funeral. It were a state funeral were his funeral. That's more than what your funeral will be. I say a state funeral's the last thing you'll get.
State funeral?
Non-cooperation, that's your trouble. You wouldn't cooperate with your Edgar. And it's only because he's on the council that he's managed to swing it, so you'll be given the freedom of the borough. If your Edgar hadn't been deputy chief spokesman for the independent ratepayers of...
What fillings are you putting in bridge rolls?
Pardon?
Pemmican. That's what I want. Pemmican.
Pemmican? What's pemmican when it's at home?
It's what we had in Antarctic. It was getting on for being our staple diet.
Fancy. How interesting.
Pemmican with a dash of curry powder.
Oh.
And you add the curry powder to ward off constipation.
Constipation? I hope you'll not use words like that in front of his worship, the Mayor Stoker. It's not your bowel movements he's worried about, Lovitz.
March 14, 1921. Wind northwest be north. Force 5. Temperature -36.
Oh, dear. There he goes again. He's quoting from Commander Bowen's diaries. He knows every single word off by heart. He treats them as though it's the gospel wrote according to Lord Muck. Makes me livid. I say, it makes me incensed. He's got his own diaries locked away in that sea chest upstairs, and there's not one of us set eyes on a single word. He's got a fortune there, and all he can do is... If I go on like this, I'll only bring on another attack of the collywobbles. I will.
Temperature -36, and the blizzard still rages. We are constantly cold. Even on the march, our limbs congeal with its numbing ache. Every step is agony. Every breath is a running wound. It is possible that a worse spot on earth has at some period in the world's history been visited, but I cannot believe that man survived it for long.
I hate to admit it, but he does use words lovely, does the commander. He does. I say he uses them beautiful.
Food and fuel running out. Cold pemmican and half a pannikin of cocoa for supper. Our spirits, I am bound to say, are low. Once more I thank God for the inexhaustible cheerfulness of Stoker Leishman. In every way he is a tower of strength.
Oh, you were, love, you were, in every way. You're stroking my hair, Stoker.
Do you know what we used to think about, Ellen, when we were stuck at Bayswater all winter?
No, love. What?
Well, most on them used to think about lasses.
I bet they did, love.
Lasses. Girls. Girls with big bellies, mostly.
Oh, Stoker, what a thing to say.
With tattoos on the thighs and big, soft, smooth breasts with nipples like prime Victoria plums.
Stoker. Oh, Stoker.
Well, I didn't think about things like that. Do you know what I thought about, Ellen?
No, Stoker. What?
I thought about all the birds what we'd shot on the voyage.
Birds?
Albatrosses, terns, petrels, gannets. We went ashore once on this island, and the albatrosses and the petrels were so tame and trusting, we could pick them up in our hands. And they looked at us with those great, big, innocent eyes. And then we wrung the necks.
Whatever for, Stoker?
For reasons of science. It didn't seem right to me. Fancy going all that way to Antarctic, and first thing you do is disturb an albatross's privacy.
Don't mind yourself, Stoker, love. You always was a softy where our dumb friends is concerned.
Yeah.
I like you stroking my hair, Stoker. It's nice. It's right nice, you stroking my hair.
One morning we woke up and you could see the sun. It were weak, mind you, but it were the sun, there were no mistaking it. Well, we'd not seen it all winter. We'd been in eternal darkness. Eternal darkness. But now it was spring and time to set off on the march to the pole.
That's right, Stoker. That's right, love.
The hut was a hive of activity. The runners of the sledge had to be oiled and polished. We had to make sure the dogs was fit and well. We had to check the supplies and build up the depots.
Of course you did, love. Of course you did.
Pemmican. Tin after tin of pemmican. You dasn't move far without your pemmican. And ship's biscuits. Don't forget your ship's biscuits.
Oh, no, love, I won't. I say I will not.
Here's a tip for you, Ellen. Always tap your biscuit hard and sharp on the table so the weevils drop out through the bottom.
Right, Stoker. I'll remember that. Might come in handy sometime.
The polar party was ready to go. They all lined up to see us off, the whole company. I shook hands with each and every one of them. Lofty Tate had a salty tear in his eye. Ta-da, then, Lofty, I said, see you when I get back from South Pole, old son. And so we set off, day after day after day on the march, and sledges getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Gales, by God, there were gales all right. It blew something chronic. It blew and it blew and it blew.
Fancy, Stalker, fancy.
You were so cold you could hardly summon up the energy to crawl into a tent, eh? It was so cold, sweat frosted inside of our sleeping bags, and we woke up in the morning stiff as boards.
Well, I never, Stoker. Can't have been very conducive, can it?
Mile after mile after mile, the ice fields stretched before us, shimmering ice, glistening and sparkling and treacherous, Ellen. Yeah, It were right treacherous. You had to watch every single step you took.
Yes, and you be careful on that line, O Stoker. Don't walk too quick. Careful you don't take a tumble. If he breaks a thigh at his age, he's had his chips. He's a goner. I say it's hail, farewell and goodbye.
We was forever falling down. Flat on our arses we went, and if you wasn't quick enough, the sledges ran you down, and you was covered all over in purple and yellow bruises. Doc McKinnon looked at my backside one night. He says, it's like a rainbow, Leishman. And Captain Lansdowne says, well, I don't want to see where the rainbow ends. Thank you very much.
No! Careful and then stay, Stoker.
Stay? Beardmore Glacier, Ellen. The Beardmore Glacier woman.
What did I tell you? His mind's wandering. It is. It's all over at shop is his mind.
Up we climbed, step after weary step. We lost lands down here by the crevasse.
Crevasse? That's a hole in the carpet, Stoker.
No, Lansdowne just turned to Commander Boyne, and he says, I'm afraid from henceforth my services will no longer be available to you, sir. And he dropped where he stood. Just where he stood. He used to whistle in his sleep, did Captain Lansdowne. Irish jigs, man.
Fancy, Stoker. Fancy.
And now, Ellen. And now we come to the most crucial part of the journey.
What's that, Stoker?
The final dash to the pole.
Final dash to the pole? You know where he's dashed to? I'll tell you. He's dashed to the lavvy. He's locked himself in. These Antarctic explorers. They're all the same, aren't they? Poor old Stoker. He were always fond of travel, you know. I remember that shadow trip we made to Blackpool shortly after his wife passed on. That were a trip. It were a day to remember. Sun, sea, sand. And when we got back, Stoker and me... Well, never mind that. Never mind.
All right. All right. Come in. Gordon. Hello, Gordon, love. Your dad's in the lavatory.
Pardon?
I don't know what for. I didn't ask.
Oh.
You look puffy under the eyes, Gordon. Would you like a laxative?
No, thank you.
You've got some nasty spots on your chin, too.
Oh.
Are you eating enough fresh vegetables? Are you eating enough roughage?
Well, I think so, Ellen. I couldn't be certain, but,
Hey, Gordon, come in. You're making the place look right untidy, stood scratching yourself like that.
Oh, thank you, Ellen. It's very kind of you, and,
Now then, Gordon, did you come by bus or did you come by train?
Well, actually, I came by bus. I always come by bus. If you come by train, you've got to change at Wakefield, Kirgate, and it can be...
Well, see, Madge doesn't come with you.
No. Well, actually, she, Well, it's a case of getting someone to look after the dog, you see, and then there's the lawns to cut and...
I quite understand, Gordon. Say no more. In every marriage, there's got to be give and take, hasn't there?
Well, actually... Is Barbara not here, then?
Oh, she's here, all right.
Oh, good. Well, then, I'll be,
She's in the back garden, sunbathing. Sunbathing at a time like this. Words fail me, they do. Words totally and utterly fail me.
Well, I'll just pop through and see her, if you don't mind, Ellen.
Sunbathing. Dear Lord, words fail me.
Yes. Yes, well, I'll just nip through and, I won't be a minute, Ellen. Yes, I'll not be a jiffy.
Barbara. The whole world revolves round Barbara, doesn't it?
Barbara! Over here, Gordon, by the greenhouse.
Oh. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Gordon. Madge couldn't make it then.
No, I'm afraid she's, Well, actually, the dog's on heat and... Could Robert make it?
No, Gordon. Robert couldn't make it.
Ah. Did you come by...
Train. I came by train.
By train? I came by bus. Actually, the bus fare's much cheaper than the train, you know.
Oh, Gordon. Oh, Gordon. Gordon.
You look very beautiful, Barbara.
Thank you.
I like your hair like that. It's very nice. Yeah, it's nice. So Robert couldn't make it?
Robert's stuck in London. Oh. One of his prize authors is having this book published tomorrow. Very prestigious. Lots of money.
I see.
You're worried, aren't you, Gordon?
Yes.
There's no need to be.
No?
No. Father doesn't suspect a thing.
Hmm.
The old bastard's getting all het up about having to wear his best suit and a collar and tie and armbands round his shirt and suspenders on his stockings and... It's heaven, Gordon. You'll love it, my sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, Gordon. It's all been arranged. After the ceremony in the town hall, the limousine picks them up, and then whoosh, bang, wallop, and into the old folks' home he goes.
It's terrible, Barbara, terrible. We should be honest with him. We should tell him to his face we're putting him in a home.
Really, Gordon?
Yes, really.
Well then, my sweet, he's all yours. You can tell him.
It's so cruel.
Of course it's cruel, Gordon.
Why put him through all the agony of the Freedom of the Borough ceremony?
Because it was the only way Edgar could be sure of getting him out of the house.
Oh, I see.
The last time Father set foot out of the house was to go to Lofty Tate's funeral, and that was 8 years ago.
Poor old Lofty Tate. Did he go by bus, or did he go by... Poor Father.
Yes, Gordon. Poor Father.
How on earth did you persuade him to go along with this bloody silly ceremony?
Through Ellen.
Ellen?
She made a wonderful job of it, Gordon. So persuasive, so emotional. She pleaded, she cajoled. It's the least you can do, Stoker, she said. Oh, do it for me, love. Do it for Dora. Oh, it tore at the strings of my heart, Gordon.
I never thought Ellen could deceive him like that.
Oh, she doesn't know about the old folks' home.
What?
She thinks he's coming straight back here from the town hall.
But that's wicked, Barbara. It'll rip her to pieces when she finds out. She'll never forgive herself.
She's got Dora to console her, and you know how good Dora is at consoling people.
Does Dora know about all this?
Oh, yes, Gordon. We couldn't leave Dora out of it, could we? Oh, dear old, lovable Dora. We had to have our tame Jiminy Cricket in on it right from the start.
I hate conspiracies.
It's all for the best, Gordon.
People always say that about conspiracies.
How long is it since you've seen Father, Gordon?
Year, 2 years, I don't know. Well, it's difficult for Madge to get away, what with the dog and the committees and the...
He's aged, Gordon. I can see him aging in front of my eyes. Every day he grows more and more like that old stuffed penguin in the hall. He's old, Gordon. He's senile. Gaga. Come here. Come with me. Stand here and be quiet.
I don't understand.
He's locked himself in the lavatory again. He's reading Commander Bowen's diaries. He never stops. He's Gaga, Gordon. He's completely out of his mind.
November the 8th, 1920. The decision has been made. 4 of us shall strike out to the pole. I shall take with me the following 3 men. Dr. Hugh McKinnon, M.D., Ph.D., Edin. Captain Horbury Lansdowne, M.C., Royal Burma Frontier Scouts. And Stoker Frederick Leishman, R.N. I pray to God that he will look on our puny efforts with favour and grant to us his boundless love and infinite mercy.
Bonkers, Gordon. He's completely bonkers.
It'll kill him.
That's what we're hoping.
What?
If he goes to the old folks' home, it'll kill him. We know that. He knows that. So we do a deal.
A deal?
A deal. If he hands over his diaries to us, we'll bring him back and he can stay on here. If he refuses... Oh, Gordon, must you always go through life looking so bloody gormless? Come here, you big soft tatter. Give me a kiss. Give me a nice, long, slow kiss.
Oh, Dora.
Hello, Gordon. Mother wants to know if you're coming in for a cup of tea.
Cup of tea? Oh, well, actually, a cup of tea would be, wouldn't it, Barbara?
Oh, it would be, Gordon. My word, it would indeed.
Have you seen your father yet, Gordon?
No, he's in the...
Ah, no. Poor old man. Poor old Stoker.
February 17th, 1921. Today we lost poor Lansdowne. It is possible that worse pain has at some period of the world's history been suffered, but I cannot believe that it ever produced such nobility and fortitude as that shown by Lansdowne. This morning it took an hour for us to put on our footgear. The temperature was still appallingly low, and Lansdowne's feet were in the most terrible state. His right foot had swollen during the night to the size of a football, and his frost-bitten nose was white and hard. Leishman, as usual, was a tower of strength. Simple, honest fellow that he is, I suspect that he alone among the 4 of us has neither the imagination nor the intellect to comprehend fully the desperate nature of our plight. Oh, aye. Is that so, Commander Boy? As it was, Leishman hauled the sledge with the power of 3 men and was constantly at hand to help Lansdowne when he stumbled and fell. But even his ministrations proved fruitless in the end. At 12 noon, Lansdowne complained of sickness and giddiness. His face was deathly white and his eyelids suppurated most dreadfully from the frostbites. He turned to me and said simply and bravely, "I am afraid that from henceforth My services will be no longer available to you, sir. And with that, the poor chap slumped to the ground and died within the hour. All of us were devastated by his loss, even though in our heart of hearts we had known for several days that it was inevitable. Leishman, honest soul that he is, had tears coursing unrestrainedly down his cheeks. That was so, Commander Bowie.
Father, are you ensconced up there again in the WC?
Yes, I am. What's it got to do with you?
It's got everything to do with me. As I say, I want to have a shave. I want to do me ablutions.
No, I meant the kitchen.
The kitchen does not happen to be the correct and proper place in which one does your ablutions. As I say, any more of this and I shall go stark, staring, raving mad. He's ensconced in the WC again. How many more times have I to tell you that I will not tolerate Father ensconcing himself in the... Oh, there's you.
Hello, Edgar.
You've arrived.
That's right, Edgar.
I see Madge didn't make it.
No, as a matter of fact, she...
Did you come by bus or did you come by train?
He come by bus, Edgar.
By bus, eh? Good, good. As I say, they've some new Leylands on that route. Are they comfy? Well sprung, good road oldies.
Well, actually, they're...
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. They tell me you've got a bit of promotion at long last, Gordon.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've been made...
You should have got out of local government years ago, Gordon. There's no future working for the town hall these days.
Well, you do.
I beg your pardon, Barbara.
You work for the town hall.
Me? Me work for the town hall?
Yes.
Well, actually, Barbara, he don't really.
Oh, yes, he does.
Now, come on, you three. Cut out the argy-bargy. I see there's nought but argy-bargy when you three get together.
Wait a minute, Ellen. Hold your horses. Barbara has made an insinuation against me, and therefore I have the right to reply. That is the correct and proper procedure. Am I right, Gordon?
Yes.
Thank you. As I say... Barbara made the assertion that I work for the town hall. Well, that is not correct. That does not obtain. I do not work for the town hall. I am a democratically elected...
Oh, my God!
A democratically elected member of the council. That being the case, it is the town hall which works for me. It is the servants of the town hall, like Gordon here, who work for me on behalf of those people who have
what
to get...
What a pain in the neck you are. Isn't he a right royal bloody pain in the neck, Gordon?
Oh, well, I wouldn't go as far as to...
He's nothing of the sort, is he, Gordon? He's a good, honest, hard-working lad, is Edgar.
Thank you, Ellen.
I tell you this for nothing, Barbara. If he had more councillors like our Edgar, this town would never have got rid of the trolley buses. I say it would not. We'd have had the best trolley bus service this side at Pennines, bar none. I say, bar none.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for those kind words.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for those kind words. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, what are you staring at?
You.
Me?
You know, Barbara, I remember as clear as though it was yesterday... The day that you were born.
Now then, Edgar, love, don't go upsetting yourself with memories like that.
They sent me and Gordon to Auntie Hilda's at Pontefract, didn't they, Gordon?
Oh, God, Edgar. Oh, God, what a load of old crap.
I beg your pardon, what did you say?
You heard your big soft wet.
Me? Big soft wet?
Oh, now, come on, Edgar, I'm sure Barbara didn't mean to...
Don't you interfere with my business. Don't you dare poke your nose into my affairs.
There's no need to start on it in.
I'll start on at whom I please.
Not with me, you won't. Auntie Hilda, what a load of old cobblers.
Oh, she's on a sticky wicket talking to Edgar like that. He worshipped his Auntie Hilda, did Edgar? Well, with a stoker not lifting a finger to help. She had to do everything for Edgar, did Auntie Hilda? Oh, yes, she did. She mended his little saddlebag for him on his little fairy cycle. She mended his little chain guard. And his little spokes. She taught him how to cut canaries' toenails. She...
Well, when she died, Edgar pined away to skin and bone. Oh, yes, he did. Skin and bone, literally. If they'd not sent him away to camp at Capel Curig with the boys' brigade, he'd have been under sods with his mother within a month. Any road. Enough of that. Got more to do than stop here and get involved in family argy-bargy. I say I'm not stopping here to get involved in family argy-bargy. If you want to argy-bargy, you can argy-bargy without me. Dora!
Yes, Mother?
Half a mo, Dora. I wonder if you could spare us a few seconds of your precious time.
Certainly, Edgar. I'll be with you in a minute, Mother.
Yes, but what about the bread rolls,
Dora? One minute, Mother. Now then, Edgar. Every second of my precious time is at your disposal.
Thank you, Dora. Well, as I say, what I want to do at this point and juncture in time is to put yourself and Gordon in the picture as regards the plans which myself and Barbara have worked out and formulated for tomorrow's ceremony.
Oh, I say, Edgar, how exciting. Oh, carry on, lad, carry on. I'm all ears, love.
Thank you, Dora. Well, as I say, the limousine will arrive here at 9:30 a.m. in the morning. Now then, according to my calculations, Father will have completed his ablutions activities and will be ready to join myself, Barbara and Gordon in the vehicle preparatory
to... Why can't we leave him in peace?
What?
Why can't we leave him in peace? What's so important about getting hold of those diaries of his?
I beg your pardon. What did you just say?
Oh, Gordon, my love. Mm. Oh, good old Gordon. Good for you, love.
Shut up!
Certainly, Barbara. Only too pleased to oblige.
I'll tell you why we want those diaries, Gordon. It's very simple. We're going to publish them. Robert's made all the arrangements, and we're all going to make a very great deal of money out of them. Money, Gordon. Money. You know what money is. It's that green paper stuff Madge doles out to you every Thursday night. It's that silver clinking stuff she gives you to take to the chemist for her pills. Well, that's what we're going to have, Gordon. Lots and lots and lots of it.
Hmm.
Oh, Gordon, you're looking all gormless again. Isn't he looking gormless, Dora? Tell him he's looking right gormless, Dora. Go on, Dora. Go on.
Why don't you stand up to them, Gordon?
Stand up to us?
Yes.
But what's there to stand up to us for? Now listen to me, lad. Them diaries is ours of right. I am not talking legalistically. I'm talking moralistically. They're ours as of right. And by God, we're going to exploit them. It is the art of the possible, Gordon. What's possible has to be exploited. You only get one chance.
I see. What do you think, Dora?
Oh, you know what I think, love.
Yes. Yes, I do. If I was to tell Father...
What?
If I was to spill the beans and...
Spill the beans, Gordon? Mm. You haven't even got the gumption to pick up the can.
If I were to tell Father that...
Shush! Someone's coming.
Come
on in, then, Storkelop. Careful. Careful, love.
That's it.
No wonder he's groggy on his pins, you know. Well, he's been sat on Lavi so long, he must have lost all feeling in his BTM.
There we are, Stoker. Look who's come to see you. It's Gordon.
Hello, Gordon, lad. I see Madge didn't make it. Did you come by bus or did you come by train?
Well, actually, Father, I came by bus.
Good. Did I hear you saying you was wanting to tell me something?
No, Father, no. Gordon was talking when you came in. He was telling us, informing
us... He was telling us which bus he came on.
Good. Well then, Gordon, you're looking a bit pasty, aren't you?
Am I?
Yes, you're looking as white as a polar bear's arse.
Oh, Stalker, love, language.
You want to get yourself a motorbike, Gordon?
Pardon?
Get yourself a motorbike, lad. Get Magistrade Pillion to do her a power of good. Get some roses in her cheeks.
Oh.
Well, then, all present and correct. A full family muster. What have you been doing? Yarning about old times, maybe?
As a matter of fact, Father, we have been engaged in discussing the arrangements for tomorrow's ceremony.
Oh, Lord, a bloody palaver is that, isn't it, Gordon? I don't know why I ever let Ellen talk me into it. To do not.
Now then, Father, that's water under the bridge. As I say, a decision has been made, and that decision has to be abided by. That being the case, we were wondering, surmising, if you'd any questions you wanted to put to us on the subject.
I have, as a matter of fact.
Well then, Father, fire away. I and my colleagues are at your disposal.
I've only one question.
Well, as I say, it's quality that counts rather than quantity.
It's a very simple question, really.
Well then, lad, out with it. Spit it out.
The question is this.
Secret to which you are referring to?
The secret I've kept for 50 years. We never got to the South Pole. It were all a fraud, eh? It were all one big colossal fraud.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, I feel quite badly.
There. Don't upset yourself. Come here, I'll give you a cuddle.
Oh, Stoker, love, what have you been and gone and done?
Silence. Makes a change. My God, has there ever been a time before when you've all been silent at the same time? This must be a record. Dory, do you remember a time when...
Get on with it. We're waiting for your explanations. Never mind, Dora. Concern yourself with your family.
Certainly, love. Only too happy to oblige. I knew all along we'd never get to it, Paul. It were obvious. Poor old Lansdowne could hardly move. His feet was terrible, terrible. He used to cry like a little baby when he pulled his fin scores off at night. And Boyne used to look at him and he'd curl back his lips and he'd say, "Don't, Bloodman, you are an officer and gentleman. There are other ranks present." And poor old Lansdowne would sob softly to himself.
Oh, dear Stoker, I know how he must have felt. I mean, I've only got to look at a pair of new shoes and I get blisters the size of saucers on my feet.
Don't sob, Ellen. Don't weep, lad.
Oh, Stoker, love.
I used to hold Lansdowne in my arms like this. I held him in my arms and I, Boyne, decided to abandon the chase to the pole. We was only 100 miles away from it. Ah. Poor old Lansdowne couldn't take no more. He broke down. He began to shiver all over. He couldn't stop. And then he began to sob. And Boyne sent me out at tent into the cold and the gales and the blackness. I could hear him quarrelling. Even above the howl of the wind, I could hear him. Doc McKinnon was shouting. He was screaming with rage. And an hour later, they called me in. I was frozen, bloody perished. Boyne didn't look at me, though. He just snarled very softly and he said, "We're turning back, Leishman. This is the end."
You walked all that way for nothing, Father.
Did I, Gordon? Did I? Lansdowne died on February the 17th, 1921. We couldn't do it for him. Doc and me stayed with him till he went. I'll never forget his last words to me. Never.
What were they, Father?
We covered his body with stone. Boyne just stood there and did not. He said, "Come on, hurry it up, for Christ's sake." And we built a cairn for him, and Doc McKinnon made a cross of his skis, and we said a prayer. But Boyne didn't. All he said was, "But for him, we'd have reached the pole."
The bastard.
And then Doc McKinnon went, "He died too, where all of a sudden, at night he was cheerful and cracking a joke. Next morning he was dead and cold. Boyne couldn't believe it. He kept saying in that funny little voice, no, no, no. Ah, he were very fond of the dog, with Commander Boy.
He wasn't fond of anybody.
Oh, yes, he was. Some folk are funny that way, Barbara. They find it right easy to grow fond of people. Well, 2 days after Doc McKinnon died, Boyne told me he didn't think we'd make it back to base. He asked me if I was at peace with the world. Oh, I said, I'm always at peace with the world, me. And then he began to whisper. It all come out in a whisper. He were going to forge the diaries. He were going to forge them to say we'd reached the pole. If we was going to snuff it, he said, we might as well snuff it as heroes, he said.
Well, far be it from me to judge matters from a distance, Father, but as I say, I suppose his motives can't be considered all that reprehensible. As I say,
We stopped at the tent for 3 days. There were a terrible blizzard outside with hardly any fuel. All we had to eat was pemmican. And Boyne just sat there and wrote and wrote and wrote and scribbled and scribbled. And when he finished, he said, you're a stout fellow, Leishman. You'll deserve all the honours you'll get when they find our bodies. Well, I was damned if they was going to find my body. I'm not giving up. We had to fight. I said, by bloody hell, I'm not. I said, I told him straight. As soon as it stopped snowing, I said, I'm off. You can come with me if you want.
Oh, good for you, love. Good for you.
And blow me, it did stop. All of a sudden. Hey, up, I said. It stopped snowing. We'd best be off. So we stored the gear and off we set. We got to Depot 7 and we stocked up with food and Boyne said, we're going to make it back, Leishman. And I said, that's right. And he said, you know what this means about the diaries, Leishman? And I said, that's right. And he said, can I rely on you to be silent, Leishman? And I said, that's right.
And you have been, love. You've been silent for 60 years, haven't you?
That's right.
Well, what a turn up for the books. Talk about dramatic. As they talk about twists and turns and convolutions. You never know what you're going to learn next these days, do you? It's quite upset my routine as this. I bet my jellies don't set. I bet. What I can't fathom out is why the stoker didn't tell people. I mean, he's not the sort of person to say he's been to South Pole when he hasn't. Mind you, there's plenty of people around here as would. I could mention a good half dozen would be only two. I wonder why he did it.
To make Boyne suffer.
What?
To make Commander Boyne suffer.
Suffer?
That's right, Ellen, suffer.
Oh, good for you, love. Good for you.
When he got back to England, he could never rest for a moment. He were always worried, tormented. Tormented. It was tormented that one day I might take it into my head to spill the beans. Spill the beans, Gordon. You understand, lad? Spill the beans.
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact...
He could never relax, couldn't Bowie. He could never be sure... The more honours he got, the more fame he got, the more money he got, the more worried he got, I'd break my silence and shatter it all for him.
You crafty old bastard.
I knew you'd appreciate it, Barbara. I used to get out morning papers just to see his photo. I used to go to pictures just to see his face on newsreels. I used to sit glued to telly, staring into his eyes when he was doing his programmes. I looked right deep into his eyes and I could see it, every flicker of it. Panic! It was panic struck, smitten with it to his very core. It was,
He would be eaten alive with fear that somebody would find it out.
Marvellous! Wonderful!
Well, then, Edgar, Councillor Leishman, have you decided when I should tell him a little secret? Have you, Edgar? Have you?
Barbara? Barbara, where are you?
Over here, by the garden shed.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
It's still here, then.
What?
The garden shed.
Yes, Gordon, the garden shed's still here.
It's still done out like the base hut on the expedition.
But of course.
I used to love sneaking in here when I were a lad.
You never.
I did.
I didn't know you'd got so much spunk.
Neither did I. I used to creep in when he was out at the pub. Wonderful. The smells. Dubbing. Linseed oil. Wintergreen ointment.
Lovely.
And all those photographs on the wall. Icebergs. Huskies. Men with dark shadows under their eyes. And their sun goggles. And rusty tins of pemmican. Aye. And boots.
Finskos.
What?
Finskos, that's what they call their boots.
Oh.
I once sneaked a friend into the shed.
You never.
Hazel Huskisson.
The one with the bosoms?
That's right.
Oh.
We crawled in through the window and I was really proud showing around. I showed her the penguin's eggs and the skis and the compass and the sheepskin mittens. And do you know what she said?
What?
She said, "My dad's got a better shed than your dad. My dad's got a Ford V8 Pilot in his shed."
That put you well and truly in your place.
Yeah.
Like now.
What?
Like father's done to us now, put us in our place.
What are you talking about, Gordon?
I'm talking about the diaries. After what he's just told us, they're worthless now.
Why?
Well, now we know the old trip to the pole was a fraud. Who'll want to buy his diaries?
Oh, Gordon, Gordon. You are a duffer, my love. You are one of nature's born duffers.
Why? Why am I a duffer?
Because, my sweet and simple duffer, because... Listen... It's precisely because the expedition was a complete fraud that Father's diaries will be so valuable now.
Why?
The scandal, you idiot. People love scandal, Gordon. People love seeing their betters brought down to size. They adore seeing the officers reduced to the ranks. Father's diaries will be a sensation, Gordon. They'll stop the nation dead in its tracks.
Aye.
My God, they'll be serialised in the Sunday Times. The Sunday Times, Gordon. Front page of the colour supplement. Pictures by Lord Snowden. Oh, we do a wonderful job on Father's wrinkles with Lord Snowden. He's a real feel for old folk as Lord Snowden. Gordon, Gordon, those diaries are priceless. They are worth an absolute fortune to us.
Oh, no wonder it's taken me 10 years to get promotion. I don't look all that gormless, do I, Barbara?
No, Gordon, no. No one could look that gormless.
Hey, did you see Edgar's face when Father spilled the beans?
Yeah, but Father's was better.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was real hatred there.
It was beautiful.
Superb.
They don't make hatred like that these days, Gordon.
No, they don't make it mature long enough. They don't let it brood and coil and curdle.
And spit and snarl.
Real hatred, Barbara.
Yeah. I wonder who it was really directed against.
What?
Never mind, just a thought. Edgar's face was a picture.
Oh, a masterpiece.
Instant deflation. Saggy eyes, saggy cheeks,
saggy mouth. Oh, what a picture. I'll never forget it, Barbara. I'll hang it in my mind to warm me and comfort me in those long nights, in those cold winter bedrooms.
Oh, Gordon. Poor Gordon.
Hey, Madge will go berserk when she hears the news.
Won't she just?
Of course, my father-in-law, the celebrated polar explorer, always says... Well, as I was only saying to my father-in-law, the celebrated polar explorer... Call yourself a man. Your father'd make half a dozen of you.
Oh, Gordon. Poor Gordon.
Hmm? Bugger, poor Gordon.
What?
I feel tremendous, Barbara. I feel absolutely fantastic. I feel as if I want to do something really significant, really positive, really...
earth-shattering.
What?
Well, you know the stuffed emperor penguin in the hall?
Yeah.
And you know the egg underneath it?
Yeah.
Well, I want to do now what I should have done years and years ago. I'm going to take it from under the penguin, and I'm going to make a bloody great enormous omelette out of it. A big, big, runny omelette. And I'm going to take hold of that big, big, runny omelette, and I'm going to tip it right down the front of Madge's tits.
Just wait till we get hold of those diaries, Gordon. When we get those, Gordon, my darling, you'll have enough money to drown her in a vat full of quail.
Oh, lovely, Barbara. Lovely.
Edgar!
Yes?
I've bought you some supper, Edgar.
Where's Barbara and Gordon?
Out in the garden, Edgar. Now, don't you bother your head about them. Eat your supper, love.
I don't want supper.
Yes, you do, Edgar. Yes, you do, love. Here. Have a drink of cocoa. I've made it just as you like it. A pinch of salt and 3 spoonfuls of condensed milk.
I know what you're all thinking about me.
We're not thinking anything of you, Edgar. Do you fancy a fig roll with your cocoa, or do you fancy a buttered cream cracker?
I could see it, Dora. I could see you reach the same conclusion as me the instant Father revealed his fraud. My career as a counsellor will be ruined.
That's right, Edgar. Would you fancy a slice of Battenberg instead of the biscuit?
I shall have to resign. As I say, resignation's the only option open to me.
That's right, Edgar. You're very right, my love. You could always have an individual fruit tartlet, Edgar.
My world is about to come crashing in ruins about my feet, Dora. A public figure is about to be vilified, condemned, cast to the wolves.
Chop, 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 chop.
What's that?
It's the noise of the wolves snapping at your ankles, Edgar. Chop, 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 chop.
Dora, sometimes I'm very envious of your innocence in the ways of the world. As I say, Dora, you have a sanguine disposition. You could have been a great comfort to me in my life as a public figure.
That's right, Edgar. That's right, love.
You could have done wonders for my life as a private figure, too.
Drink your cocoa, love. It's getting stone cold.
The life of a chief parcels officer on British Rail isn't all beer and skittles, you know.
I'm sure it isn't, Edgar.
In the life of every chief parcels officer, there comes a time when... Do you follow my meaning, Dora? Do you follow the gist of my conversation?
Oh, yes, of course I do.
Well?
Well, what, Edgar?
Well, what have you to say?
Have a fig roll, Edgar. Have a buttered cream cracker.
Your dad's resting quietly on his bed, Edgar. He's got a look of real serenity on his face. I say he looks right serene. Why don't you go up and sit with him, Dora? You can read to him. He loves you reading to him. He always did.
All right, Mother. All right. I'll do my duty, as always. And you'll do yours as well, won't you, Edgar?
What?
Do your duty by your father, Edgar.
Right then, Edgar. Are you all right? Is there anything I can get you, love?
I'm all right.
You sure, Edgar? Are you sure you wouldn't care for a sulphur tablet?
Leave me alone!
All right, all right. Keep your shirt on. I say, keep your wool on. I know when I'm not wanted. I'll go into the kitchen and tend to my maids of honour. Hello, love.
Hello, Alan.
You're not going in the back parlour, are you?
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't if I was you. It's Edgar. He's in one of his baddies. And you know what Edgar's like when he's...
We're going in, Alan.
All right, all right. Have it your own way, but don't blame me if...
Ah, the two heroes.
Hello, Edgar.
Come to gloat, have you?
Gloat, Edgar?
At my humiliation.
What humiliation?
Oh, don't give me that look of wide-eyed innocence, Barbara. You know as well as me that my reputation at this juncture in time lies in tatters. Absolute tatters.
Why?
Why? Because the ceremony is off. Cancelled. Abandoned without trace. And as for the old folks' home, forget all about that. As for the diaries, ditto.
I beg your pardon, Edgar.
It's all off, Barbara. As I say, it's finito.
Oh, no, it isn't, Edgar. It's all very definitely on.
Now, you listen to me, Barbara. I've got experience in these matters. As I say, when you're in public life, you develop a sixth sense about...
We get hold of those diaries, Edgar, and we publish them, Edgar. And to get hold of those diaries, Edgar, we have to go through with a ceremony tomorrow morning.
We can't! We can't! If one whiff of this scandal gets out, we'd be completely ruined. Our name would be totally besmirched.
Lovely.
What?
I said lovely, Edgar.
I wonder how Madge would fancy being besmirched.
Right. That's it, then.
Edgar, what are you doing?
What I should have done years and years ago. I am going to give him a thorough good hiding.
Don't be so silly, Edgar. Put your fist down and...
Out of me way! Shift yourself! For years and years and years, I've had to put up with his gormlessness, his helplessness. Everyone's been sorry for Gordon. Never mind me. Never mind the toils and turmoils I've gone through trying to keep this family on an even keel. Never mind it. Right, then. Right, then. This is it.
Oh.
Just listen to him at it in the back parlour. Chunner, chunner, chunner. Nothing but argy-bargy. I don't know what all the fuss is about, I say, I do not. What does it matter whether the stoker got to the South Pole or not? I'm not mithered. I don't think any the less of him. Well, I were against him going there in the first place, and so was me dad. He'll get his death a cold here, me dad said, and he were right. Well, look what happened to poor Captain Lansdowne. I mean, these cold climates can be right fatal if you don't wrap up proper, you know. He wants to keep his mouth shut and say nowt at ceremony tomorrow as a stoker. I don't care what he's done. He deserves recognition, does the stoker. Oh, yes, he does. He deserves a happy ending. We all do. Look at Dora. Poor soul, she's been selfless all her life. Selfless with a capital S. Poor Dora. She's up there in the bedroom with him now, doing her duty, as always. Poor Dora. I say, poor Dora.
You've got them on the run, Lord.
I'm not.
You'll not change your mind about tomorrow, will you?
Hey, no, Dora, not do that, love.
Good. Smashing. Would you like me to read to you now?
Ah, open me locker drawer. Take out Commander's diaries. Page 87. Start at paragraph 4.
Right.
There's more of your mother in you, Dora, than meets the eye.
That's right, love. Are you ready?
I am ready. Get cracking, Dora.
Page 87, paragraph 4. June the 9th, 1920. We are in the middle of the Antarctic winter.
Long talk with Doc McKinnon last night about the composition of the party for the final dash to the pole. We are agreed that no more than four shall make the trip. The Doc and I make two, and there can be little doubt that Lansdowne will be third. Go on, woman, don't leave it all to me.
But who will be fourth? My own feelings on the subject are somewhat mixed. The Doc is unstinting in his praise for Stoker Leishman. He feels that his strength and outstanding hardiness will prove invaluable in the rigours and perilous hardships which we will face. I agree. Yet I cannot help wondering whether he will fit in.
How does it go, Dora? And after all, the three of us are officers and gentlemen, and they were and all, Dora. Officers and gentlemen. Much bloody good it did him. read on, Dora.
As for Stoker Leishman, well, he is an outstanding sort, a credit to the finest traditions of the lower deck. But has he the breeding, the background, the moral purpose, the integrity of intelligence to sustain him in the dangers that lie ahead? McKinnon thinks he has. So, much against my better judgment, I have agreed to take him. I pray to God that my doubts will prove unfounded.
Well, Dora,
Were they?
Oh, Stoker. Oh, Stoker, my love.
It's all gone very quiet, hasn't it? There's no noise from the bedroom. He must have nodded off, must the Stoker. Poor old Stoker. I say poor old... There's no noise coming from back parlour, neither. And about time, too, I say about time. They've been going at it, hammer and tongs. Of course, they've always been the same. They're never so happy as when they're having an argy-bargy. I blame breeding for it. The mother's side of the family. I think there was Welsh blood there somewhere. Well, that sort of thing's hereditary, you see. I mean, it's no wonder Edgar's like he is now. And look at Gordon. Poor devil. He'd a perpetual runny nose as a child. He were forever dribbling. And he were allergic, too. He'd only to set one foot on a trolley bus, and he'd be covered in spots all over his little body. It was the same when they took him to the Christmas panto. He sicked up 3 times in Cinderella with Nat Jackley as Baron Hardup. Of course, when Barbara came on the scene, they were as thick as 2 thieves. He never left her alone. I used to think it was right peculiar myself. Well, I mean to say, I've seen him a grown lad and all with a needle and thread put in tucks in her little gym slip. Well, that sort of thing isn't conducive, is it? I say it's not conducive. It's not... Wonder what's going on there in back parlour. Very quiet, aren't they?
There was no need to do that.
Well, you started it.
Maybe. But there's no need for Gordon to strike me so hard.
I was defending myself.
You made my nose bleed.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Violence never gets you anywhere.
It has with us.
I beg your pardon?
If Gordon hadn't bonked you on the nose, you'd never have agreed to go on with the ceremony tomorrow.
I only agreed to that because I was unable to marshal my arguments against it.
Why?
Because my nose was bleeding.
Oh, Edgar. Oh, Gordon. What a trio we are.
Yes, what a trio.
Well, come on, then. Up we go to Father's bedroom. We've got to keep on at him. We mustn't let him slip through our fingers now. Up we go.
Wait a minute, Barbara. Not so fast. Let me get my nose in order before I start. Oh. If you hadn't hit me so hard, I'd have thrashed you within an inch of your life. My nose.
Is that Edgar crying out? Sounds as though he's in pain. He's not been taking his turkey rhubarb root regular. That's his trouble. He's not... Oh, never mind. I'm taking them a pot of tea upstairs. Well, in times of turmoil, you can't whack a good pot of tea, can you? On the night of the Blitz, the Stoker and me drank 4 pots of tea. And when Jerry had gone, we... Never mind that. I say, never mind that. Well... This won't get the baby's bottle wash, will it? This tea'll get stone cold if I stand here making away to you lot. It'll... He were a fine figure of a man with a Stoker in the days of his prime. I remember that shadow trip we took to Blackpool. Oh, you should have seen him. I say you should have seen him in all his finery. Oh, he did look conducive. He did and all. Stoker! Dora! Tea's coming, loves!
She's coming, Dora.
So she is, my love. Well, you'd best take your hand away then, hadn't you?
There's more of your mother in you than meets the eye, isn't
there? Here we are, then. Tea up.
Right, go, Melon. And a plate of sarnies and all. Oh, that's champion, is that?
Well, you've got to build yourself up for the great day tomorrow, haven't you, love? We don't want his worship the mayor accusing you of malnutrition, do we?
You're a real pal, Ellen.
That's right, Stoker. All 3 of us are pals. We're the 3 pals. You, me and Dora.
I like the sound of that, Ellen. The 3 pals.
Well, if I'm a pal to you, Stoker... Will you promise me one thing?
What is it, Ellen?
That you'll not spill the beans tomorrow. It's your great day, Stoker.
Don't go and ruin your great day, love.
And is my great day your great day too, Ellen?
Of course it is, love. You know that.
Well then, love, wait and see. Wait and see, eh, Dora?
Certainly, love. Wait and see. That's the order of the day.
Yeah, at long last. The family joins me. Well, then, you're just in time to hear some good news.
What good news?
Oh, you'll love it, Barbara. It concerns something you've always been right interested in.
What?
My diaries.
That is precisely why we've come up here to see you. We've decided...
I'm going to give them to you.
What?
I'm going to give you my diaries. Well, don't look so sickly about it, the three on you, aren't you pleased?
You should be. My word, if I was you three, I'd be over the moon about it, literally.
Why, Father, are you giving us these diaries?
Because the three of you have always wanted them, and it seems a sin and a shame to keep you waiting till I snuff it.
I don't understand, Father.
It's simple, Gordon. I'm following the example of an officer and gentleman, Commander Bowen. He gave his children his diaries. Well, then, I'm giving you mine.
And we can do what we like with them.
Oh, aye, you can paper at lavatory with them, for all I care. Dora, there's a key on a piece of string round my neck. Be a good girl and get it off for us, will you?
Right, love. There you are.
Now then, Gordon, would you pull my sea chest out from under the bed?
Well, actually, I...
Go on, lad. Madge will not notice dust on your new trousers.
Hmm? Bugger, Madge.
Oh, look at all that dust, Stoker. It's not concomitant having all that dust in a bedroom.
Hush, Mother, hush.
Right, Edgar, will you do me the honour?
Honour?
You are the eldest member of the family, so I'm giving you the honour of opening the trunk.
Right, right, thank you.
Thank you, Edgar. Now then, just move them fin scores out of the way and you'll find the diary wrapped up in a muffler.
Yes, here it is.
Well, give it to Barbara, Edgar. Let her read it out. She's got a right lovely voice for that sort of thing, hasn't she?
Well, I don't know about that, Father. As a man well-versed in the arts of public speaking, I'm sure that
give
I
could... Give it to Barbara, Edgar.
All right, here.
Thank you.
Right then, Barbara, open it up. Read it out loud. I want everybody to hear what I wrote.
Oh, they will, Father. Don't worry about that.
Well, don't keep it to yourself. What's it say?
Shh. Don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What don't you believe, Barbara? Oh, for God's sake, give it to you. Right, let's have it out in the open. 15th of June, 1919. Set off for Antarctic. Weather very good considering. 23rd of July, 1920. In Antarctic now. Constipated again. So is Lofty Tate. Weather decidedly parky. November the 6th, 1923. Arrived home at Tilbury. Heard that Eleanor got married. Weather damp and foggy. And then I shut up. Shut up the lot of you. Is that all there is? Is there nothing else about the expedition?
That's right, Edgar.
We've been had, Edgar. We've been had. The old bastards had us on the run all these years.
Do you realise what you've done to us? We've been living under the tyranny of those diaries ever since we were born. As I say, our lives have been tyrannised by them. And now we find they're worthless. There's not one single thing of value in them.
Oh, yes, there is, Edgar. There's something of very great value there, to me, and to... hold my hand, will you, Ellen?
Of course I will. Here.
Thank you, Ellen. Right, Gordon, it's your turn to read. Take the diary from Edgar, lad. Take it from Edgar and read.
Oh, right. July the 5th, 1947. The first outing since my wife died 12 months ago.
That's the one I was telling you about. Do you remember?
Oh, Shelley, don't interrupt. Carry on, Gordon.
Decided to take family to Blackpool on the Shara. The adult party will consist of myself, Ellen and Lofty Tate. Ellen is concerned that Lofty Tate will not fit in. I believe, however, that his cheerfulness and indefatigable high spirits will be priceless for the perils that lie ahead.
Get on with it.
Sorry. Set off from Central Bus Station at 8:30 a.m. Wind southwest per south, temperature 67. Lofty Tate constantly complained about hard seats in Shara. Got to Chorley just after opening time. Couldn't drag Lofty Tate out the boozer. Sent Ellen to look after the kids while Lofty and me had a real set to. Finally he looked at me and said, "I'm afraid that from henceforth my services will be no longer available to you." We left him there supping, and he didn't get home till a fortnight later. Arrived in Blackpool in brilliant sunshine.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it, Stoker? I came out in freckles all over my arms, didn't I?
That's right, Ellen. Come on, Gordon. Carry on reading, then.
On the way home, Gordon... came out in spots all over his arse. Edgar was sick and Barbara never stopped howling. My God, what a family. And what a bloody awful journey. The worst I have ever met. Got home at 11:30. Put the children to bed. Ellen stayed on.
Yes. And it were a smashing day. Oh. Lovely. Right smashing. I shall never forget it. Now, why don't we...
Shush, Ellen. Shush. Go on. Read on, then.
Stoker. You never wrote it all down.
Aye, Ellen, that's right. It were not to be ashamed of.
Oh, Stoker, love.
Give us Daddy here a minute, Gordon. So, now then, Ellen, you read it.
Well, I don't know.
Go on, there's naught to be ashamed of.
Got home at 11:30. Put the children to bed. Ellen stayed on and we... Oh, Stoker. Oh, dear Stoker, did we do that? Fancy. Oh, Stoker, love, you wrote it all down.
That's right. And there's no nasty about it, is there?
Oh, Stoker, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to... Hey, up then. What's this you've wrote?
What's what?
This. April 16th, 1980. Dora gave me an interesting piece of news today. She tells me my children have hatched up a little plan for me.
Dora, you never told him.
She did. The bitch! The lousy, stinking bitch!
Now, hold on, no more fisticuffs.
Get out of my way, you miserable little squirt!
It's morning now. The sun's shining. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you missed all the interesting bits last night. No, you didn't. All it was dramatics. Dramatics and argy-bargy, that's all. And who wants to bother with dramatics when the world's full of so many nicer things and... Mind you, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. Edgar punched Gordon. Gordon punched Edgar. Barbara screamed at both of them. The Stoker sent Edgar packing out of the house for good and all. Barbara marched out of the house in a tantrum. Madge rang Gordon and told him to come home at once because Dog was constipated, so he had to travel by train instead of by bus. And then the Stoker cancelled the ceremony for today. That's all that happened. Mere dramatics. Now I know what's really mithering you. You're worried about my bridge rolls. Being as how there's no ceremony today, what am I going to do with them? Don't worry. I say don't worry. All that's been took care of. I've rung up Jackson and Colclough's, the high-class bakers, and they've agreed to reimburse me for the bridge rolls and the fancies. All that's bothering me now is,
What am I going to do with me Unsworth's pork pies? You see, in this hot weather, pork pies have a habit of ponging a bit and...
Well then, Mother, are you ready?
Ready for what?
The limousine. It's waiting at the door.
Limousine?
That's right, Ellen. It's waiting for you, and it's waiting for me.
Why?
To take us to registry office.
The registry office? I don't understand, Stoker.
He wants to marry you, Mother.
What?
I want to make up for lost time and get married to you, Ellen. Get spliced. Enter into holy wedlock.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I don't know what to say, Stoker. I say I'm right speechless. Words fail me, they do. When did you decide all this?
When I were halfway up Beardmore last year.
I don't follow you, love. I'm all of a flummox.
Well, bloody well, listen to me, woman, and you'll get out of your flummox, won't you?
Stoker! Gently, love. Gently.
Sorry, darling. Sorry. It was just before poor old Lansdowne died. It was the last thing he said to me. You asked me what his last words were. Well, he looked at me as he lay in my arms and he said, "Go back home, leechman. Go back home and marry your Ellen. That is my last wish." That's what he said, And when I got home, you'd gone and married Walter Bentall, you daft bugger.
But you never ever told me how you felt about me, Stoker, never. Why didn't you write? Why didn't you drop me a postcard from Beardmore Glacier? Why didn't
Mother, be quiet and listen to what he's saying. He's asking you to marry him.
I know, but...
I've got the licence. It was all arranged months ago. We fixed it, the Stoker and me. Come on, Mother. You're due at the registry office in half an hour.
Yes, but what about the reception, love?
We're having it here.
Eh, what a surprise, I say. What a turn-up for the books.
Well, come on, woman, will you or bloody won't you?
Yes, Stoker. Yes, Stoker, I accept your offer.
Ta very much. Right, then, I'll just nip to Lavi.
The Lavi? What for?
To make the final entry in me diary. And then, Ellen... to dispose of it in the most appropriate manner known to man.
I know what you're thinking now. You're thinking, what's going to happen if someone spills the beans about the South Pole business? Well, who's worried about that? I say that's a minor problem compared with the one we've just solved now. What problem? What to do with the Unsworth pork pies? We're going to eat them at the reception, aren't we? I mean, when you think about what's more important, a trip to South Pole or the waste of 3 dozen pork pies, it's obvious what the answer is, isn't it? I say it's blindingly obvious.
In Stoker Leishman's Diaries by Peter Tinniswood, Robin Bailey played Frederick Leishman and Shirley Dixon Mrs. Bentall. Barbara Martin was Dora, Martin Matthews Edgar, Liz Golding Barbara, and Christian Rodsker Gordon. The play was directed in Manchester by Tony Cliffe.